Good morning, everybody. Today is April 7th, 2022. Pursuant to House Rule 10.01, I'm going to call this virtual meeting of State Government Finance and Elections Committee to order. First, we'll start out with Representative Carlson. Did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I would move the minutes from yesterday, which would be April 6th.
Mr. Chair, should we not do a roll call first?
We should probably do the roll call first, yes. I'm just getting ahead of myself. Thank you. Mr. Brinks, can you take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
I'm here.
Nelson is present. Vice Chair Carlson.
Carlson present.
Carlson is present. Representative Nash.
Present.
Nash is present. Representative Bonner. Representative Joskowski. Representative Elkins.
Elkins present.
Elkins is present. Representative Greenman.
Present.
Greenman is present. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne present.
Cleburne is present. Representative Kosnick.
Present.
Kosnick is present. Representative Mason. Representative Mason, you're muted.
I'm sorry. Mason present.
Mason is present. Representative New Brindley.
Present.
New Brindley is present. Representative Pulowski.
Pulowski present.
Pulowski is present. Representative Quam.
Present.
Quam is present. Representative Bonner. Bonner is excused. Representative Joskowski.
Present.
Joskowski is present. Chair, with that, we have a quorum.
And we heard Representative Joskowski that time. I saw him, but I didn't hear him. Members, now, Representative Carlson, approval of the minutes.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would still like to move approval of the April 6th minutes.
Representative Carlson moved approval of the April 6th minutes. All in favor, if you want to unmute, say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. We have the minutes approved. I'm going to now hand the chair over to Representative Carlson, the vice chair, and we're going to get proceeded with the bill that we were working on yesterday.
All right. Thank you, Chair Nelson. Members, what we have before us today is the omnibus bill. So, Chair Nelson, would you like to move the DE2 amendment for House File 4293?
First, I'll move the House File 4293 to be before us. And I'll move the DE2 amendment. Like I said, this is the what we discussed yesterday. We did the walkthrough yesterday. And hopefully we can get this, our amendments done. We're scheduled to be here tomorrow if we don't get done, but hopefully we can get done this morning. So with that, members, Mr. Chair, we have an A3 amendment, which is the author's amendment.
The A13?
A13, sorry.
Okay. And members, members, just for clarification, we'll be taking the following amendments to the DE2, all right? So, Chair Nelson, to your A13 amendment.
This is to take some technical changes and move some things around, some additional appropriation from MMB for their technical assistance, and clarification of the $93,000 that's an MMB appropriation, and that's just basically to get the bill in the way we need to get it.
Okay. Member discussion to the A13 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A13 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
The A13 prevails and the A13 amendment is adopted. The next amendment, Representative Joskowski, you've got your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I saw it after, I saw it right as we were voting, but on that amendment that we just passed, line 1.17, there's an appropriation $314,000 for technical assistance to communities and nonprofits that have traditionally not participated in the state capital budgeting process. I would ask the author, what does that mean?
Okay, I will, understanding kind of late to getting your hand up there, we'll take the question, but then we are going to move on to the A6. Chair Nelson, to Representative Jaskowski's question.
That is assistance for underrepresented group, disadvantaged business enterprises, veterans enterprises, small businesses that are trying to get in and learn the process of working with the capital investment budget and with the state budget. It's just some assistance for them to get them into the process and learn how to work with the process.
Representative Jaskowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Chair Nelson, is it defined in the bill that have traditionally not participated in the state capital budgeting process, who those are? I know lots of people who haven't, in groups that haven't participated in the state budgeting process, or is this more social engineering?
Okay, last question, Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Jaskowski. This is an attempt to try and get more people that have not participated, different groups, like I said, disadvantaged businesses that are smaller in size and may not have the resources to do that. Veteran-owned businesses that are starting out, allowing them to get in and get into the process, so that they can do some of the work for the government, for the state government. And this isn't a bill that came from Representative Lee, House File 3780.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take a further look at it and I'll tack it on the floor.
Okay. Moving on. The next amendment we have up is the A6 offered by Representative Nash. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move the A6 and request a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Amendment. Chair.
Mr. Nash.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a provision that you've all voted in favor of previously. During the pandemic, we were unable to have civic organizations get together and do many of the things that they do, some of which is raffles. And as we learned, and I hope you remember, they have to use debit cards to do these raffle purchases by federal law. And what we're asking is that the organizations that are trying to do these still trying to find venues and still trying to overcome the needs of some of their membership, they would like to do their raffles by phone. And if you'll also remember, this is not an outbound call by the organizations to random people, but this is a person making a call to the organization asking to purchase a raffle ticket. So we're simply asking that you renew your support of this. Previously, when it came through the GCB bill that Representative Hewitt carried, there was support from this committee for it, and I would stand for questions.
Okay. Member questions to the A6 amendment. Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair and members, last year we put this in our bill because of the pandemic, because of the lack of being able to meet in person. As we've been reminded by a lot of people, the pandemic is winding down. People are back to meeting in person. I've gotten pushback on this from last year from the gambling board. I've been told that they're trying to work on something on this. But at this time, I'm not in favor of this amendment this year going forward.
And Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Nash.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, I would point out that Chair Nelson has us meeting remotely right now. We are not in person in this committee. We haven't been in person in this committee. That the Speaker of the House still feels compelled to deny us that ability to meet in person. So I think that a little bit of pot calling kettle black is in order here. This is a simple request. The GCB has not, if you'll remember, they did not oppose this version of the bill and amendments. Chair Nelson, you voted for this to leave committee, and it was in the conference report. So if you choose to vote no on this, then I'm assuming that we're all going to be meeting in person, possibly even tomorrow, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right. We'll take that as Representative Nash's closing comments. A roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Mr. Brinks, will you please take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
No.
Nelson votes nay. Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Carlson votes nay. Representative Nash.
Yes.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner votes nay. Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Drazkowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Elkins votes nay. Representative Greenman.
No.
Greenman votes nay. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne, no.
Cleburne votes nay. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
No.
Mason votes nay. Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, nay.
Pawlowski votes nay. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam votes aye. Chair with a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail.
The A6 amendment with 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A6 amendment is not adopted. The next amendment we have is the A7. Can I get a hand on who's, there we go. Representative Kosnick, are you taking the A7?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful. If you'd like to move the A7 and then proceed with the explanation.
Members, I would move the A7 amendment. And what this amendment, basically, we've heard provisions of it previously throughout committee, but overall, this amendment is again to share with the public and give the committee an opportunity to take a look at a few provisions that reinstill integrity into our elections and protects the sanctity of the vote. You know, it's our job as committee members, even more so, we're privileged to be on the elections committee, and it's our privilege and responsibility to make sure that we do have free and fair elections, but also in this political climate, a little bit more divisive than has been in the past, that has called into question some of our election results. You know, we have a shared responsibility to reinstill that integrity into our elections in our state. And so what the amendment does has a couple major provisions, statewide voter ID. It brings Minnesota in line with dozens of other states. 35 states require voter ID, and they range from strict ID laws to showing some form of ID, even without a photo. And it just helps us to make sure that the people who vote are the who they say they are each and every time that they vote, which is different than some of the provisions that were offered during committee. And I also recognize that we had a constitutional amendment similar to this provision a number of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I think. And if you talk to your voters, as I have, and I hope many of you have, this is one of the top things that they are concerned about, especially in the more recent elections. And I think Minnesotans would like to see a voter ID bill to provide a photo ID every time, each and every time they vote, similar to when they get a fishing license, and many, many other aspects of life require some type of an ID. Another provision is provisional balloting. If someone registers to vote on election day and maybe they isn't completely clear of their eligibility, this would provide a provisional ballot process so that they have time to verify, the election judges to verify, and the voter that they are in fact eligible to vote. And this is shouldn't be controversial, because we should want to make sure that only people that are eligible to vote in that precinct are voting. It helps to not disenfranchise voters. People want to make sure that their vote counts as much as anybody else's vote, and that only those that are eligible to vote are voting. Third provision is regarding individuals collecting ballots and turning them in for other voters. 31 states, someone other than the voter is explicitly allowed to return a, a voted ballot on behalf of another, that many of these states limit the provisions to a family member, household member, or a caregiver. And in Minnesota, we permit a person, you can help up to three members, up to three other voters. But we don't have any safeguards around that to ensure that they're only collecting or harvesting ballots for up to three voters only. And so to ensure the integrity of the voting system, that elections are free and fair, we should do away with ballot harvesting. It's just, it's ripe for fraud, and it provides an opportunity to coerce members of the public on how to fill out their ballot, and it doesn't instill the sanctity of the vote and the individual responsibility to vote. And then another major item is pop-up voting sites. We talked about this in committee. I don't think it is consistent, or which makes it unfair if there's pop-up voting sites in some parts of the state or some parts of a precinct or voting district and not consistently applied throughout the state. Election day should be on election day. And pop-up voting sites, this provision would prohibit counties and cities from setting up one-day voting sites around just various jurisdictions, but not others. And we don't know what measures are taken to prevent fraud with that. We don't know who's tasked with ensuring the pop-up voting site safety and protecting the ballots. We need to ensure that our voting process is regulated and secure, and as I mentioned, consistent and fair. And then finally, we had an amendment that I mentioned previously. Corporate donations were something that was new in the last election cycle, or outside profit or nonprofit donations to help election administrators facilitate the management of elections. And this is one of the primary obligations of a state or a government, is to run the elections in a clean, safe, and secure way. And when we start accepting donations in some jurisdictions and not others, and we don't necessarily know who or why outside organizations want to influence our elections, I think it really raises some concerns of why we would be accepting financial donations in our election system. It just doesn't even pass the smell test. So states are submitting legislation to, other states are submitting legislation to prevent outside corporate donors. My colleagues across the aisle are concerned about who is funding independent expenditures of individual candidates. And so I think you should also be concerned about who's funding or trying to fund and influence our election systems with outside donations. I'm not sure why we would be letting outside private money come into our public transparent process of counting ballots. So we need to eliminate any outside undue influence in our elections. And if we want transparency, we should not allow this because we don't know who's donating these private funds. And this provision obviously makes elections should be free. As a government entity, we do have the resources should make the resources available to make sure that our election systems have all the resources they need without outside money coming in. Additionally, as we mentioned, and to ensure to the voting public a confidence in their voting system, we need to make sure that there's penalties for voter fraud. We need to hold voters, judges, and people who don't appropriately register voters accountable. People that are administering our election systems should be held accountable. And so it increases the penalties for voter fraud. And then finally, we want to make sure that only U.S. or Minnesota citizens are voting and are eligible to vote are voting. And so our statutes already require that only U.S. citizens are eligible to vote. and we need to start enforcing that. And this enforcement begins during the voter registration process. When we don't, when we allow and don't follow up and have enforcement of our voting systems, we demean and undermine our citizenship. When we allow non-citizens or non-Minnesota residents or residents not in, even in our local precincts to participate in the sacred privilege of voting. And so it's a kind of a lengthy amendment. A lot of it is because of the voter ID provision that goes throughout a lot of the voting chapter. But with that, I submit this amendment to reinstill integrity in our elections, to reinstill confidence to the voting public that when they vote, their vote counts as much as anybody else, and that the results of the elections, they can have confidence with that and reinstill the confidence in our democracy. So with that, I would stand for any questions and encourage members to support this amendment and these provisions.
Okay, to member questions, Representative Quam, you've had your hand up for a while. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And many of the members on both sides of the aisle know that there's a push against the Citizens United. Basically, the donation to candidates from corporations. So these corporate donations to organize elections, that should be a no-brainer for many of you. The photo ID, there was an 08 Supreme Court decision with the majority decision written by Justice Stevens, which upheld that photo IDs are not only a reasonable, but a common sense solution to the documented past and present voter fraud, and that every group that said they were disenfranchised by photo ID actually had a larger voter turnout and participation after that was passed. And that's why the U.S. Supreme Court in 08 supported photo ID. Plus, I believe about half the country is already there. Going on to the provisional ballot, isn't it past time that Minnesota actually complied with HAVA? HAVA was designed on the federal level to prevent disenfranchisement of voters. And with provisional ballots, which there are only three states who were granted an exception from having to do that, and we're the largest of the three, provisional ballots are there so everyone that comes to a polling location can cast a vote. But it does have a process for verification if there are some abnormalities. And this committee in previous years heard a legislative auditor audit on the registration system in Minnesota. And it was in the testimony and presentation, tens of thousands of bad registrations. So if a person comes in, same day registers, their vote's cast, it's commingled, it's in the pot, but there were some abnormalities. We don't know until after the fact. And when tens of thousands of bad registrations have been documented, that leads to question the validity. And our responsibility as legislators is to help, help our citizens and the community and the state feel confident in the integrity. And anyone in this committee that doesn't think there's a large portion that have questions about integrity, well, frankly, they must not be listening to a large portion of our state. So the provisions in this amendment not only would allow us to be HAVA compliant, they would help people have more confidence in our elections. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Next on my list of member questions, Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item one, my understanding and what I did when I took one of my family members' ballots to the city hall, you have to sign in. So are you going to, is that not a customary transaction at all the other places that take in the absentee ballots? And this is for the author. And then the second one is, can you give a specific incidence when you're talking about the contributions, the company contributions? Thank you.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Mason. Many other states have tighter provisions that I would even entertain so that you could help a family member vote and turn in their ballot for them. Our state does not allow that, or excuse me, it does not prohibit that. It's much more expansive, and that is why the provision in here for against ballot harvesting, and it just is more open for question among our voting public. And so if you wanted to limit it to family members helping or a caregiver, that's what some states do. My provision in this amendment goes further to eliminate ballot harvesting. There is an incumbency upon the voter to take the responsibility and ensure that their ballot either gets absentee ballot, maybe gets mailed in on time, which is not too much to ask, or a variety of other ways to vote on election day. In terms of some of the private contributions, offhand, I don't have a specific data point, but there's it's quite widely reported that there were corporate donations in a variety of other states, and many states are moving to prohibit those types of profit and nonprofit donations that were looked at or accepted. And then kind of the research of it shows that they were donated mostly in highly Democratic voting areas, which does not instill free or fair elections. If they were evenly distributed across voting patterns and jurisdictions that had different voting patterns, but most consistently, it went to Democrat voting, and many of it more commonly referred to as Zuckerbucks, where large donations were made by a particular person. And it just erodes the confidence in our election results. And as election committee members, we have a responsibility to make sure that our elections results are widely accepted as fair and free. And accepting outside donations just opens up the door to what is the motivation behind that. And so that's why the provision is in here to prohibit those kinds of private donations for election systems.
All right. Last on my list, before we get back to the to the chair, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to make sure I requested a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Member questions. Chair Nelson, you're last on my list to speak to the amendments.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. And members, again, the voter ID, we've hashed this out. We've talked about this both here in committee and on the floor. Voter ID was put before the voters of the state of Minnesota. The voters of the state of Minnesota said no, they did not want it. So therefore, I oppose this amendment and ask for a no vote.
Okay. With that, Mr. Brinks, will you? Oh, I'm sorry. Back to the amendment author. I'm sorry. Representative Kosnick, briefly summarize your amendment, please.
Yeah, thank you, sir. You know, we're proud Minnesota has a high voter turnout, and we don't have a turnout problem or issue in the state, but we do have an integrity issue, and we're losing the confidence of voters in Minnesota in our election process and the results. It's time to instill the sanctity of the vote. We must pass provisions that are included in this amendment, such as voter ID, provisional balloting, elimination, eliminate ballot harvesting, eliminate pop-up voting sites, prohibit corporate donations that question our results, and we must increase the penalties and enforce the for voter fraud and enforce those laws. So members, on behalf of the constituents and voters of Minnesota, please instill voter integrity and pass this amendment. And thank you for your consideration.
Mr. Brinks, will you please take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
No.
Nelson votes nay. Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Carlson votes nay. Representative Nash.
Oh, yes.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner votes nay. Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Drazkowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins votes no.
Elkins votes nay. Representative Greenman.
No.
Greenman votes nay. Representative Cleborn.
Or no.
Cleborn votes nay. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick votes aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
No.
Mason votes nay. Representative New Brindley.
Yes.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, no.
Pawlowski votes nay. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam votes aye. Chair with a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays. The motion does not fail.
All right, members, the A7 amendment with 5 ayes and 8 nos, the amendment does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Members, just a quick time check. We're at about 9:01. Gives us an hour with 6 amendments left. That's about 10 minutes of amendments. So if you can all keep that in mind as we continue to proceed. With that, the next amendment on the docket is the A8. Who will be offering the A8 amendment? Anybody going to take the A8? I don't have a name.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A8.
Okay, thank you, Representative Nash. Representative Nash moves the A8 amendment. If you want to proceed with describing your amendment, please.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we voted on this before. There have been efforts to limit what I believe was called an access club by one of your members criticizing this. This would also kind of pick up on a theme that I just shared, that we're not in person. This would make it so that the legislature could not vote on legislation if members of the public are not allowed to be there and watch in person. It is increasingly difficult even to get into the, have members of the public get into the SOB. You can't obviously join us or watch us today in our Zoom meeting. I believe that that's very important. And, the efforts of the majority party have been to stifle access for, I believe, the Senate, but have just blissfully ignored the needs of the public to observe our goings-on. So this would enjoin the legislature from being able to vote on anything unless members of the public were allowed to be there in person, and would request a roll call.
Okay, roll call. Having been requested, there will be a roll call. Two member questions. Representative Claiborne, you've got your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just like to remind the committee that when this amendment was brought forward with my bill previously, I had spoken with Capitol Security at the time, and they encouraged us not to adopt it. And so I just want to remind the body that there are legitimate reasons for not adopting this, and that I was also told that there are ways technology allows anyone who is wanting to view whatever vote is going on, they can do so by technology. So this amendment is not necessary for transparency. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I serve on the Capitol Area Security Commission, and we have never talked about this, not once. So I would be really curious, and we can do this offline to keep you on your schedule, but Representative Claiborne, I serve on the commission, haven't heard a thing, not one thing. And it's even more curious that the Capitol Security folks haven't bothered to tell the Senate about this, because they're having people in committee rooms. So double standard, as is sort of tradition in these last number of years for you all. But once again, you are making a conscious decision to keep the public away from the process. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair Nelson, to the A8 amendment.
I would ask members to vote no on this amendment for all the reasons that Representative Claiborne mentioned. As far as the SOB being opened, I did check with the speaker and I did check with our other staff, and the problem we have in this and the SOB as opposed to the new Senate office building is that the Senate office building has newer upgraded technology. We don't have the technology to be able to hold meetings here safely. We don't have the ventilation systems. We don't have the technology to be able to do a hybrid meeting in the SOB. There's only one room that we have under our control, which is in the Capitol room 120, that's capable of doing that. There are still staff that are working from home and because of health needs, they're working from home. So therefore, that is why they're not having the meetings. We're not having meetings in the SOB. Again, we don't have the technology to do what we have to do. So members, I urge a no vote.
Okay, Representative Nass, did you have any closing comments to the A8 amendment?
Well, what I would say is prior to the pandemic, nobody had ever expressed any of these concerns, not one concern. And given the fact that I've been on Capitol area security since I arrived at the Capitol, and no one has mentioned this other than the partisan majority party, I would say that you are dead wrong and that this is actually sort of a concentration of power. So thank you.
Mr. Brinks, will you please take the roll on the A8 amendment?
Thank you. Chair Nelson?
No.
Nelson votes nay. Vice Chair Carlson?
No.
Carlson votes nay. Representative Nash?
Yes.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner votes nay. Representative Joskowski?
Aye.
Joskowski votes aye. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins votes nay. Representative Greenman?
No.
Greenman votes nay. Representative Claiborne?
Claiborne, no.
Claiborne votes nay. Representative Kosnick?
Kosnick votes yes.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason?
No.
Mason votes nay. Representative New Brindley?
Aye.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, nay.
Pawlowski votes nay. Representative Quam?
Aye.
Quam votes aye. Chair with a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brinks. For the A8 amendment, 5 ayes, 8 nays, the amendment does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next amendment on the list, members, is the A11. Who will be moving the A11 amendment?
That would be me, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Representative Nash, please proceed.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the A11 and request a roll call.
All right. Representative Nash moves the A11 amendment and requests a roll call. So there will be a roll call. Please proceed with your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll do you a favor and save you some time. And I won't walk through every single line, but members, I want to start off by pointing out that here we are with the state government finance supplemental spending bill. It is the best word that I could provide for you is porcine. It is very porky. And you have millions of dollars loaded into this bill, but you know what you haven't done? You haven't covered the bases for the job creators in our state. So we are on third deadline. We are looking at a spending bill that is laden with pork, lots and lots and lots of spending on things that, quite honestly, and you've heard me say this before, and many of our members have said before, isn't required to operate state government. So you're spending more money on state employees when you're telling job creators in the state of Minnesota, yeah, we don't care so much because you haven't moved the unemployment insurance trust bill off the floor. That is a stark message. It is unbelievably tone deaf of you. I am ashamed that this is actually even happening, and I think you should be too. But this strips out a good portion of the spending that is in this bill that is not necessary. You all have paraded many of these bills through, and you've wrung your hands in admiration of them, but you haven't done squat for the job creators, business owners in the state of Minnesota. I am blown away by the tone deafness of this. We could walk through the spending provisions, but you all are going to toe the line for I believe sometimes the term is the powers that be, who have told you that you're going to vote for this. But I want you to consider the job creators in your districts that we're going to tell about this. We're going to remind them that you've chosen to ignore their needs, their pleas, their cries. People who are seeing 200-500% in their UI, you did nothing, but you've told the people who work for the state government, hey, we've got your back, and through some of this spending, we're actually going to grow the ranks of state employees in Minnesota. What a great day it must be for the business owners and job creators in your district to watch you vote for this. So I believe there is one other provision in the A11 I think Representative New Brindley wanted to speak to, if I'm not incorrect, but I'm going to renew my request for a roll call and would stand for questions.
Okay. Representative New Brindley, your name was mentioned. Would you like to speak to the A11?
I'm fine. I just agree. I will be voting yes on the amendment.
Okay. Further member questions? Chair Nelson.
Members, I request a no vote on the spending that they're eliminating, as some of the stuff goes for cybersecurity. Some of the stuff goes for increased criminal prosecution, which we've been screaming about with the AG's office. So, members, I would urge a no vote on this amendment.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Representative Nash, final thought?
Final thought is think of the job creators as you are voting on this. You can send them a message by saying, you know what, we recognize that you're getting screwed and that we're the ones that are doing that. So we're going to step in and do the right thing and eliminate this spending.
Mr. Brinks, will you please take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
No.
Nelson votes nay. Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Carlson votes nay. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner votes nay. Representative Drozdowski.
Aye.
Drozdowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Elkins votes nay. Representative Greenman.
No.
Greenman votes nay. Representative Cleborne.
Cleborne, no.
Cleborne votes nay. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, no.
Mason votes nay. Representative New Brindley.
Yes.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, nay.
Pawlowski votes nay. Representative Quam. Representative Quam. Quam is excused. Chair with a vote of 4 ayes, 8 nays, and 1 excuse. The motion does not prevail.
All right, thank you, Mr. Brinks. With 4 ayes, 8 noes.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
All right, we'll conclude you there, Representative Quam. I will repeat that in saying we have, for the A11 amendment, 5 ayes and 8 noes. The amendment does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Representative Quam, you got in there just in the nick of time. Next amendment on the list, I've got the A10. Representative Drozdowski, I believe this is yours. Would you like to move the A10 amendment?
It is, Mr. Chair. I move the A10 amendment and ask for a roll call.
Okay, A10 has been moved. Roll call having been requested. Representative Drozdowski, please proceed with your explanation to the amendment.
Before I proceed on that, I did see a technical error in the amendment drafting on 1.9. Section there, 204, should be 204C.20. There should not be a D in there. That, I guess, could be corrected if this amendment's adopted. Mr. Chair, members.
So, 1 second, Representative Drazkowski. I believe, yes, that staff can be directed to make any technical corrections as needed. And I think what you just described is minimal enough to where that would then be addressed at such time. If staff wants to weigh in on that, I would like to get an answer to that question first. Anybody from staff?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt Gehring from House Research.
Yes, Matt.
So Representative Drazkowski can just incorporate that change into his amendment because he's the author of it. So we'll take that down and make sure that that's corrected.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Want to make sure we got that covered, Representative Drazkowski, if you want to then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Members, we have in our election statutes where we come around to reconciliation of the absentee ballots. The cart is coming before the horse. It's reported to me that we had upwards of over 200,000 absentee ballots that were part of the certification process last election that had not finished their reconciliation according to statute. So what this would say and direct each canvassing board is that they cannot certify their results of their election until the ballot reconciliation under section 204C.20 is done and the post-election reviews are done as well. So this would get things in the proper order so that we're sure that the number of absentee ballots matches the number of people who signed up for absentee ballots and that's all specified in law how to do that, but we shouldn't be certifying the election until those efforts are completed. That's what this amendment does, and it will bring some integrity to our election statutes. I ask for your support.
Member questions to the A10 amendment. Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair, members, I speak. I see Representative New Brindley's got her hand up. Why don't we let her speak first?
Absolutely. Representative New Brindley.
Sure. I just want to say, Representative Drazkowski, I appreciate the amendment. It ensures that we are following the law already in place to make sure that our elections are counted fairly and accurately. This is a good amendment. Thank you.
Further member questions? Chair Nelson.
I would urge a no vote on this amendment. This leads to calling into more question into our elections. It wouldn't be set. They wouldn't, that the vote totals couldn't be announced because they weren't certified. So members, I would urge a no vote.
Okay. Members, if you would please unmute.
Mr. Chair, if I could. Mr. Chair, can I give the final?
I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. You fell off my screen there for a second there, Representative Drazkowski. Please proceed. Yes, closing comments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I did not understand Chair Nelson's argument there. It didn't seem to, I just didn't understand what he was saying. We have a process in statute now, two different areas of statute that don't talk to each other. And what this does is says that the ballots are reconciled properly before the certification happens. That's what we're doing with this amendment. So if you vote no on this amendment, you're okay with certifying results before the ballots have been properly reconciled. Think about that, members. Is that what we want the policy in elections of the state of Minnesota to be? For the canvassing boards to come forward and certify results before they're sure that all the details of the counting have been done properly first. If you're voting no on this amendment, that's what you are supporting going forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Members, if you would please unmute.
Mr. Chair, he called for a roll call at the beginning.
He did. Okay, I didn't have that noted. Representative Drazkowski, is that correct? You requested a roll call?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
All right, excellent. My apologies. Mr. Brinks, please take the roll.
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
No.
Nelson votes nay. Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Carlson votes nay. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner votes nay. Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Drazkowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Elkins votes nay. Representative Greenman.
No.
Greenman votes nay. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne, no.
Cleburne votes nay. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
No.
Mason votes nay. Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, nay.
Pawlowski votes nay. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam votes aye. Chair with a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Brinks, for the A10 amendment. With a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the amendment does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next amendment on the list is Representative Drazkowski, you're up again. I've got the A12. If you would please move, if you'd like to move the A12, and then please proceed with your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move the A12 amendment. Mr. Chair, members, the language in this amendment came from a bill actually that Chair Nelson brought forward last year. And I think there's a growing effort in the legislature to look at and find more details to be reported by lobbyists as we go forward. I offered a bill and it was heard. Thank you, Chair Nelson, for hearing that bill in this committee to require the lobbyists to file a statement of economic interest. And that spawned some additional discussion that we had Mr. Sigurdsson come forward and talk about what is happening now. And Representative Greenman and I met with Mr. Sigurdsson to try to better understand where things are at. I know that Representative Greenman, and she may want to speak on this, share some of our interests in this area to bring forward some more transparency about lobbyists and who they are lobbying for, the amount of money they're being paid for different lobbying activities. Unfortunately, this amendment was not drafted properly or fully, and that's my error in that, Mr. Chair and members. And I'd like to certainly have more discussion on this. I talked to the chair last night, and it sounds like maybe at least his disposition isn't to move forward with this. I'll let him talk about that. But maybe Mr. Chair, Representative Greenman or Chair Nelson would like to talk about it, and then I'll eventually withdraw the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Drazkowski. I heard Representative Greenman, Chair Nelson. Do either of you wish to weigh in on this? Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. And I appreciate it because I think when we talked yesterday, that a piece of this amendment was what was in House File 2173, but there were provisions of it that didn't make it in, and I think that the complete package is probably what we're all looking for. So I appreciate the conversation that started and that engaging the Campaign Finance Board as a former member of the Campaign Finance Board. I know that they do their work working with and to really understand what's needed, and so appreciate that. Appreciate the work. Thank you.
Okay. Chair Nelson, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, this parts of this, it's about two-thirds of what was in 2173. When we put that in last year, the lobbyist group, and I can never say their letters correctly, but the lobbyist group and the Campaign Finance Board were working together on this to try and come to the solution. I know Mr. Hyland is here, and I know Mr. Sigurdsson is here, and maybe they can weigh in on this and tell us how far they've gotten on trying to come to a solution to this issue, and then I'll say my final piece.
Okay, Mr. Sigurdsson, Hold on, I'm
I thought I saw Mr. Sigerson here earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Eric Hyland's here too, by the way.
Yes, Mr. Hyland, if you could please introduce yourself and proceed with your comments.
Sure, Mr. Chair, good morning, members. My name is Eric Hyland, and I do represent the Minnesota Government Relations Council. And to answer Chair Nelson's question, yes, we have been, as an organization, engaged with Mr. Sigerson on their full proposal, along with a few other issues that our association would like to address. And we are working to hopefully be able to bring a package that everybody agrees to the next legislative session.
Thank you, Mr. Hyland. Chair Nelson, you had some final comments before we go back to Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chair, at this time, like I said, I think I can accept this amendment. We can continue working on it and hopefully move forward and see what happens. And if we can get to final disposition on this year, otherwise there's plenty of time between now and conference to get things worked out one way or the other.
All right. Thank you, Chair Nelson. Representative Drazkowski, final comments.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, Mr. Chair, I spotted Mr. Sigerson.
Oh, excellent. Mr. Sigerson, if you're on the call, if you could please identify yourself and speak to the amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jeff Sigerson. I'm the Executive Director of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Basically, just to echo what Mr. Ireland said, we have been the board has been working with the MGRC to resolve some issues. We believe that those issues are pretty narrow at this point, and in fact can be brought forward as a package that will have the support both of the regulated community and of the board to try to improve the lobbying disclosure that we receive in the state, and basically go in an entirely different direction and providing the subject matter and the issues that the lobbyists are looking at. I'm not sure. I certainly heard Representative Nelson's statement that there may be time to still do this session. I'm not sure if we're quite ready to close those gaps, but certainly we can talk with the MGRC and Chair Nelson, Representative Drazkowski, and see where we're at on that. But I appreciate that the issues that the board has brought forward on the lobbying program are still being looked at by the legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Sigerson. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Sigerson. And members, there you have it, MGRC, committed to memory.
Good.
Yeah, it's there for about 3 seconds. I appreciate the discussion here today. Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you, Representative Greenman and others. We do and are hearing a need for more transparency amongst the lobbying community. I think that's what Chair Nelson's bill last year attempted to do, and that's what certainly some of the discussion within the campaign finance board members have brought forward, and that's what originally I intended to do with this amendment. Chair Nelson, if we can bring forward the full language that you had later on this session, either in ways and means or on the floor, I'm certainly willing to assist with that. This language isn't ready here today, and I wish I had the whole thing, but I don't. So at this point, Mr. Chair, I'd like to withdraw the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Drazkowski withdraws the A12 amendment. Representative Drazkowski, stick around. We got the trifecta here. We've got the A22-0422 amendment. If you would like to move that amendment, and please proceed with your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a section, members, in the bill on page 15, lines, the amendment applies on line 10. In the bill, the language extends, this is about the ability for a person to obtain and bring accuracy to data that the government has about them. And in the language on line 15.10, at the end of it, it says, They have the right to appeal the determination to the commissioner under this section. The amendment, and I got to scroll to it, Mr. Chair, strikes everything after the word determination and says under this section within 60 days to the commissioner. That would make it consistent with the next part of the appeal, which is
members, if you could please, or guests, if you could please mute. Thank you. Sorry, Representative Drazkowski, please proceed.
We're good. I understand, Mr. Chair. Begins on line 15.15. If you read the bill, you can see that it says you must appeal to the commissioner within 60 days. So this makes the first part of that congruent and puts it in law and says within 60 days instead of giving latitude to the commissioner. The way the language is now, members, and you've heard me opining on this repeatedly, we as a legislature have been extending authority to the executive branch rather than spelling things out in law and requiring the executive branch to act according to law. So what this would do is do that. It would say 60 days on the first part and 60 days on the second part. It would be consistent. It would give citizens the understanding that the law says this instead of giving latitude to a commissioner, either current or future, to make that decision. I think it's the right thing to do, and I encourage the adoption of the amendment.
Member questions to the A22 amendment. Mr. Chair. Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair, and this is the part that we heard in, the bill that it came out of, I presented in the judiciary bill. I think Ms. Byerly is here from the governor's office or from the administration to explain and maybe get some insight from her on what this is. My understanding of this is about practices that they're currently doing is just putting what they're currently doing into statute, and that the second part of this has to do with some criminals that have been convicted, including some sex offenders, are trying to use this section of law to overturn their convictions. And so I'll let Ms. Byerl explain that, if she can.
Yes, Ms. Byerl, if you are on the call, welcome. If you could introduce yourself for the record and provide your comments.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. For the record, Julie Byerl from the Department of Administration. We actually don't have any concerns about this amendment. We think it's actually a good idea.
Oh, that was concise. Further member questions?
Chair, I'm willing to accept the amendment.
Okay. Representative Drazkowski, it looks like we're back to you.
When you're winning, shut up is what I've learned, Mr. Chair.
Well said. Members, if you would please unmute. All those in favor of the A22-0422 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. The amendment is adopted. Very good. Last amendment for the day. And I want to, just quickly mention, thank you, everybody, for keeping us on track today. Last but not least is the A15. Representative Bonner, would you care to move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as is with the case, in any busy legislative session, occasionally there's a miscommunication. While I believe this is a fantastic bill that can verify that you are who you say you are, you live where you say you live, and that you are, in fact, eligible voter for a fraction of the cost, which is very taxpayer friendly. Unfortunately, there is one additional tweak that needs to happen. And so I'm going to withdraw the A15.
Okay, very good. And folks, just for clarification, this is the A15 in place of the A14, which Representative Bonner has now withdrawn. All right, very good. With that, we are going to move to discussion to the move to discussion to the DE2 amendment as amended. Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a fairly disappointing effort. One, for the tone deafness that you've brought forward. We're looking again at a massive bill spending unnecessarily. State government is fully funded. We know that. You know that. And I just think that the message that's being sent today with your yes vote on this says to the job creators of Minnesota, we don't care. And by we, I mean you. So I'm going to give you one last shot to do the right thing. Mr. Chair, I'm going to make a motion to lay this bill on the table and request a roll call, because I want to give you an opportunity to work through some of these bad spending provisions and bring back a DE that we can work on tomorrow that allows for the proper priorities to be brought forward, and the right message to be brought forward for the people of the state of Minnesota, that people in the legislature understand the plight of the job creators of the state of Minnesota, that you're not trying to pat your government pals on the shoulder and say, we're going to grow your ranks. Meanwhile, you are absolutely, utterly, and blithely ignoring the needs of the job creators. So we'll again make a motion to lay this on the table and request a roll call.
Okay. Representative Nash makes the motion to lay the DE2 as amended on the table. Roll call having been requested. Mr. Brinks, please take the roll.
Thank you.
I should go to Chair Nelson. Chair Nelson, would you like to speak to this? I apologize.
Laid on the table is, I believe, not debatable, so we need to go to the vote.
See, very good. Mr. Brinks.
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
No.
Nelson votes nay. Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Carlson votes nay. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Joskowski.
Aye.
Joskowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Elkins votes nay. Representative Greenman.
No.
Greenman votes nay. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne, no.
Cleburne votes nay. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Okay, all of a sudden I forgot.
Representative Mason?
So, for clarity, folks, this is a motion, a request by Representative Nash to lay the bill on the table. The chair has voted no.
Can I change? That's no.
Mason votes nay. Representative New Brindley?
Yes.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, nay.
Pawlowski votes nay. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam votes aye. Chair with a vote of six.
Mr. Brinks, I believe Representative Bonner has her hand up.
Mr. Brinks, my apologies. I lost track of where we were. I vote no.
Thank you. Bonner votes nay. Chair with a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays. The motion does not prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Brinks. The motion does not prevail. Let's see. Back to the DE2 as amended. Member discussion. Representative Draskowski, I saw your hand up first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, somewhat echoing Representative Nash's words on here. Government is fully funded. It's funded through June 30th of 2023. We made that decision last summer in the special session that set the budget for the full 2 years. Government has all the money it needs, and we're seeing Minnesota Democrats coming forward to take more of the people's over collection of their money that's been sucked out of their wallets and landing in St. Paul, and they want to spend it on more government. Growing the big Goliath of government that we have here in Minnesota at the behest of their political ideology, contrary to the message that Minnesotans are bringing over and over again. They're tired of being abused by government taking more money than it needs. The reality is government is fully funded. There is no reason to spend a dime in this bill. There's no reason for most of this bill. Anything in this bill that's not policy, there's no reason for. And Minnesotans know that. We're hearing it loud and clear. They are going to make the call when we get to the next election. There will be different people with gavels in the Minnesota House of Representatives next year because Minnesotans are tired of being abused by this big growing government that is being brought forward by Minnesota Democrats. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Elkins, I've got you next on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of things. You know, I found some of the discussion today kind of discouraging, quite frankly. You know, in Representative Nash's A11 amendment, one of the budget items that is being deleted is the modernization of the, you know, the foundational systems that we use to run state government, like SWIFT. And those systems have not, you know, we've not been keeping up with the updates. We're in danger in some cases of falling out of compliance with our maintenance agreements because we're so far behind in applying upgrades and patches. And yet his amendment, you know, would have completely struck the appropriation to modernize those systems. The other thing that I found especially, you know, discouraging in the tone of all of this is just literally like 2 weeks after, you know, listening to our Republican colleagues talk about, you know, with passion about how secure our elections are. Today, we're hearing, you know, bringing forth amendments that basically just stoke unfounded conspiracy theories. You know, if there are people that are citizens out there that are questioning the integrity of our elections, the best way to stop that is to stop, you know, bringing forth amendments that give credence to those unfounded conspiracy theories. So thank you very much. I encourage a vote in favor of this bill.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I just want to make a general comment or a couple of general comments about the process that we've engaged in this year. I actually had a Democrat in my office yesterday who wanted to work with me a little bit on the bill regarding special access for lobbyists. And, you know, it's interesting. I voted no on that in committee, but the reason I voted no on that is because as a committee, we were unwilling to engage in a dialogue on the actual language of the bill. I attribute this largely, frankly, to this Zoom committee process that we have not worked on the actual language of bills. We have not engaged in the legislative process in the same way via Zoom that we do in person and in real life when we have human beings looking at each other and talking to each other. It's disheartening that, you know, my first two terms of the legislature, there was compromise. There were real discussions. There was real work done in committee where we didn't have party line votes and we worked together to make things better. And that is absent in this bill. And I would suggest that, you know, as Representative Nash already said, you know, we've said it over and over and over again, this is not a budget year. And if there are emergency needs that require supplemental funding, that's a legitimate issue that we should address. But all we're doing here is bloating government and without critical discussion and without critical thought. Over and over and over again in this committee, we have been told when we have asked questions about bills, well, that's not the goal. That's not my intention. Well, frankly, your goals and your intentions are irrelevant when the language on paper is bad. I look forward to next year when we will be in person again. And we will have a legitimate legislative process where we are working together to actually fix things and make things right and make these bills what they should be. There are a lot of good ideas in this bill. There are a lot of good ideas that I think could have bipartisan support if we were just willing to work together rather than saying Republican idea is bad, Democrat idea is good. It's just not true. That's not the way the world works. And when we have brought those things forward for discussion, they've just been dismissed. It's unfortunate. There's a lot to work with in this bill, but as it's presented and with the unnecessary bloated funding attached to it, it's just a non-starter. It's just an easy bill, unfortunately, to vote against. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, we are at 9:45, and I got quite a few hands up. So in your comments to the DE2 as amended, if you could just be mindful that others would like to speak too, and be respectful for the other members, allowing them a chance to speak. I appreciate it, so that we can give the last 5 minutes or so for wrap up. So if you can keep our comments to the next 10 minutes, that would be appreciated. Next on my list, I have Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one of the previous people mentioned, just last year we were talking about the how strong and how good our election integrity is. And I think that member hasn't listened to my repeated references to an actual legislative audit about the tens of thousands of bad registrations, about the subsequent audit that found additional people were not following our election law and voted illegally, and the fact that I sent letters to the Secretary of State and to the counties, and both entities stated they do not check and verify the bad registrations that are required by HAVA to be verified through the Social Security Administration. So I don't see how anyone can say there aren't questions. And I referenced a U.S. Supreme Court decision in 08 that upheld photo ID, where the Supreme Court indicated there was evidence past and present about voter fraud. I've never said anything in regards to the past election. This has all been historic to avoid the partisan back and forth, but we have documented evidence that there are problems, and continually we're seeing new legislation that refuses to look at ways to improve the integrity of our system. It actually refused today an amendment that would say, follow our process before you certify. How are the people of the state of Minnesota supposed to have confidence in our system if we don't even require following the process before you certify? There is no way I can support a
Representative Quam, we're losing you. Representative Quam? Okay. All right. We must have lost his audio. All right, members, here's the lineup for the remaining members wishing to speak. I've got Representative Mason, followed by Representative Nash, and then Representative Nelson to close us out. Representative Mason.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And it's really hard for me to listen to a lot of these comments. I just want to make something very clear to people that are listening. When some of my Republican colleagues are saying that everything is done, my concern is that we have been underfunding education for decades, the same thing for transportation, et cetera, et cetera. So for them to say that we balance the budget and everything is fine is totally wrong. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would point out to the previous comment that in no provisions of this bill are we talking about education or transportation. And that state government is fully funded. So Members, I've made this comment a number of times, but you all are about to cast a vote here that is going to grow state government. You have ignored the needs of jobs creators around the state with little concern. No remorse expressed. No, hey, we're going to get to that. We're going to guarantee that we're going to do that, because so far you haven't. And you have, at the behest of your leadership, said that until Republicans put up votes for something that has zero chance of becoming law, that you're going to hold jobs creators hostage. And I don't know, maybe you think this is going to be a winning strategy, but it's not. You know, there are good policy provisions in this bill. There are pieces of this that I think will make it all the way through to the governor's desk, but you've just been tone deaf in rolling this bill out. And I just think you had an opportunity to lay this bill on the table, and I'm not going to do it again, but you had an opportunity to say, you know what, we can go back, we can make some edits, we can come back with a better bill. You choose not to. You really have missed the ball here. You've just swung and whiffed. And I am disappointed that this bill is going to be moved on through the committee process, be merged with more stuff that's going to groan under the weight of porky spending. So I will urge members to vote no. I think that this is misguided at best, and that this sends a completely negative message to the jobs creators of the state of Minnesota, that you are intentionally, purposely, perhaps gleefully, according to the testimony of some of your members, going to grow state government and completely ignore the people who are looking at a massive increase in their UI spending. That one of your chairs in floor debate said, well, they'll be fine. They should be expecting this. Well, they weren't expecting this. They actually were expecting that you would do your job, which you haven't. Vote no.
Chair Nelson, to the DE2 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I encourage the yes vote on this. Again, there's many provisions in here that are dealing with the biggest expenses in here is dealing with upgrading our technology to help prevent us from cybersecurity attacks that are going on every day. There is election provisions in here that we've heard before and voted out of here before. So members, as Representative Nash said, there's no transportation in this bill and there's no education in this bill. We are not those two committees. Also, there is no UI in this bill because the UI is not part of this committee. Also, that's another committee, and we can deal with that when it comes to the floor. So members, I urge a yes vote on this, on the DE2 amendment, and I renew my motion to amend the 4293 with the DE2 amendment as amended.
Okay, Chair Nelson, just for a quick, before we go to a vote, for my benefit, is there two votes here? The first on the DE2 as amended, and then re-referring the bill, the House File 4293 as amended. So is there one vote or two?
There are two votes. We have to vote to amend the 4293 with the DE2 amendment, and then okay. We have to vote on the main bill. Correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, members, just to clarify once again, this is a vote on the DE2 as amended. Will Mr. Brinks please take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
No.
Nash votes nay. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Drozdowski.
No.
Drozdowski votes nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman votes aye. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne aye.
Cleburne votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
No.
Kosnick votes nay. Representative Mason.
Mason aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley.
No.
New Brindley votes nay. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski votes aye. Representative Quam.
No.
Quam votes nay. Chair with a vote of 8 ayes and 5 nays, the motion fails.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brinks. The DE2, as amended, does prevail on a vote of 8 ayes and 5 nays. The amendment does prevail and the amendment is adopted. Next, we have Chair Nelson. Would you like to renew your motion to refer House File 4293 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 4293 as amended be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Excellent. Mr. Brinks, please take the roll.
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
No.
Nash votes nay. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Drazkowski.
No.
Drazkowski votes nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman votes aye. Representative Cleborne.
Cleborne, aye.
Cleborne votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
No.
Kosnick votes nay. Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley.
No.
New Brindley votes nay. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski votes aye. Representative Quam.
No.
Quam votes nay. Chair with a vote of 8 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Brinks. House File 4293 on a vote of 8 ayes and 5 nays does prevail and is adopted and as amended and is on its way to Ways and Means. Thank you, members. At this point, I'm going to turn it back over to Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Vice Chair Carlson. Members, I'm going to make a motion that we direct the staff to make any technical corrections as needed. I don't know, does that need to be a motion, Amanda, or she's shaking her head. No, we'll direct the staff to make any technical corrections as needed as they're putting the bill together. Members, future meetings of the State Government Committee, we may have some informational hearings. We may have something that we need to work out to, or to act on. So keep an eye out for your calendars and on your emails for, you'll get notice of those. There aren't any other questions or any other...
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any future or potential meetings, are those going to be in person or via Zoom?
Representative Nash, if we can get the room 120, we could have those in person. But if we cannot get the room 120, which is under demand by the other committees, we will have to hold them via Zoom. Because again, as I stated earlier, according to our staff, we don't have the technical ability to hold in-person hybrid meetings in the state office building at this time.
Mr. Chair, if you would forward me the document that you've just referenced, that you were told that according to staff that we're not able to do that, if you would please.
Representative Nash, it wasn't a document. I talked to our staff. I talked to the staff in our, I don't have it in a written document, but it was that we were given that written document from the speaker beginning a session. You should have also received that. Anyway, if and members, if there's nothing else, we are adjourned.